you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, and we're looking at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And please follow along in the Bible as we read Psalm 91 together this morning. I'll read it, you can listen, but find your place and follow along with your eyes. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my fortress, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near to your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample under your foot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father, bless the reading of this word. Bless the truth that's contained here. We pray, Father, that the hope and the faith of the psalmist might be ours in whatever trouble we might face. Be near to us. We desire to dwell in your shadow, the shadow of the Almighty, and find safety and security and rest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of my message this morning, I've really broken from the stride that we were enjoying in the book of Galatians because of the circumstances. I've entitled my message, If You Believe in Christ and Know Him by Name, You Need Not Live in Fear. Cheryl, I think this morning said that she had found that there are 365 verses of scriptures that say, fear not. And so God wants to give us a message this morning. And it's that simple message, fear not. If you believe in Him and know God by name, you need not live in fear. And that's what the psalmist is talking about here. Here are some hot topic words that have been popular. They're part of a new vocabulary we've taken on just in the last few weeks in light of the coronavirus. We hear them over and over and many times on news broadcasts. The words like pandemic. Now, I hadn't heard that word in a very long time. but it seems to be repeated over and over on the TV news. The abundance of caution. Now that's a new phrase that we have. Take the abundance of caution. National emergency. Now I know that declaring a national emergency has released funds to help battle the issues that we're facing in our nation today, but those are pretty dramatic words, national emergency. The stock market has fallen and risen and fallen and risen, and if your retirement funds are resting on the progress in the stock market, maybe you might be getting a little nervous. Sporting goods have been canceled and delayed, and I'm most grieved about the Masters golf tournament in Augusta that's been postponed. We're stocking up groceries and toilet paper, and when have you ever remembered going to Price Chopper or Hannaford or Walmart and seen empty shelves? Hand sanitizers and face masks are sold out, kind of in anticipation of the events that we're experiencing now. My son lives in Japan, and there were a number of cases in Japan, so I was talking to them over Skype one Friday night, and they said, we're out of face masks. So I went and bought 100 face masks. You know what it cost me? $100. Probably a week before, I could have bought them for $8. And then it cost me $27 to send them to Japan, but they were happy to get them. All these things we hear about, they tend to bring fear to our heart and dis-ease to our soul. And we can't allow that to happen to us. There are real threats to our safety, and we shouldn't take them lightly. We should use every precaution. We should use wisdom as we go step by step through what might be ahead of us. Closing the church doors, though it may grieve us, may become a necessity in time. It has for many other churches. All of life has risks, and probably your chance of dying in a car accident is far greater than dying of the coronavirus, right? And you don't think a thing about running out to the car, opening the door, turning the key, driving down the road, getting on 787. We can't live our lives in fear. You should wear your seatbelt, right? You should keep the speed limit. You should wash your hands, and it's good that we don't shake hands. And I'm wondering if the whole cultural norm in the Orient of bowing came from not wanting to spread germs 1,000 years ago. We should do everything we can in wisdom to be safe, but we should not live in fear. Why? Well, if you don't know, there's a God in heaven. If you don't know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, if you don't know that He is your guardian and He is the one who sovereignly controls every circumstance of your life, you may be in fear, but we are believers. Like the psalmist who's a believer. Our text lists risks that the psalmist in his day faced. Let's look at some of them. Hordes of armies coming over the horizon, causing farmers to flee for safety in a fortress. That was their defense. They built these towers and fortresses and cities with high walls, and the agriculture was outside the wall, and when there was fear or threat, rather than sleeping in the fields, they ran inside of the wall. You've all heard of the story of the falling of the walls of Jericho, right? Those really thick walls with very strong gates that people would flee into. And the scripture here tells us that God is our fortress. But that was a very real threat for those people. They didn't know when they looked over the horizon they might see dust flying, and suddenly there's thousands of enemy soldiers coming to take away their lives. In verse 3, maybe you should look here. Verse 3, it says, "Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler." Now, long ago, I had to look up because I had no idea what a fowler was. A fowler is somebody who catches birds in a trap. And Satan is pictured as that fowler, that person, that evil spirit that wants to entrap us, cause us to fall into sin or fall under his hatred and attacks. Satanic attacks, like the fowler trying to catch a bird. He's trying to catch us. That was one of the dangers that the psalmist is addressing. In verse 3, he describes from the perilous pestilence. Look at verse 6. "Nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness." That's what a disease is. That's what a virus is. But the psalmist lived in a day when there was no CDC, seeking very diligently to make a vaccine. Maybe you've already taken the flu shot, right? Maybe you have at your disposal in the drugstore antibiotics. They had none of that. And so in his day, in the psalmist's day, a disease would spread from person to person, and before you knew it, whole villages were dead. Verse 5 says, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night." That's the kind of fear that keeps you awake all night. And the psalmist, in the midst of the dangers that were all around him, these various dangers that people over the years that the psalmist is writing to, the population of Israel, they've experienced some of these problems and some of these fears. "But you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night that could keep you from your sleep." Verse 5, the last part of the verse, it says, "Nor of the arrow that flies by day." So all those archers, they would come. And maybe the Israelites were in a battle against the Philistines. And the archers are up on the hill. And there's 100 or 500 or 1,000 archers, and they all pull down out their bows and they shoot them towards the armies of the Israelites, and you had no idea. It was like chance or circumstance whether an arrow was going to hit you in the back and kill you. One of the kings of Judah was killed that way. Random arrow, zoom, and thump, gets the king of Israel in his chariot. And he says, "You won't be afraid of the arrow that flies by day." And you know what? Life is not just chance and random events. You think about the people who have maybe written books or told their testimony on Christian radio who were on their way to the Twin Towers on September 11th. Maybe their train was slowed down. Maybe they stopped for a cup of coffee. Maybe they got delayed taking their car over the George Washington Bridge, and somehow they didn't make it to work. It wasn't just chance and circumstance. God has a plan for each one of us. But we don't know what might happen. We might step out across the curb and a car come and slam and hit us, and we don't know what might hit us tomorrow. Look at verse 7, where it says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. See these soldiers in battle? Arrows are flying towards them, enemy soldiers are invading, and they're fighting with swords and spears, and here's the soldier on the battlefield. 1,000 fall by his side, his own buddies and his own friends, but he survives. We don't know. We can't live in fear. A plague in verse 10 might wipe out a whole household. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague near your dwelling. Whole household might be wiped out. It's certainly a fear that they might have had. Even coming down further in the text to verses 11 and 12, where it says, "He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." You could fall off a cliff. That's something that could cause us to be fearful all the time. My wife and I like to go over, take a walk some afternoons over at Peebles Island. How many have been around the trail at Peebles Island, right? Isn't it beautiful over there, right in the middle of the city, right in the middle of the rivers going by? And I always like to walk near the edge. And you know, the soil there is kind of shaley, you know, very fine shale, and maybe it could be slippery. And my wife, she always grabs hold of my arm and she says, "You're making me nervous, come over here." But if God doesn't want me to fall over the edge, I'm not going to fall over the edge. That's what the psalmist is saying. You know, we could be fearful and afraid about everything, but he warns us not to do it. They had a lot to worry about, don't you think? The psalmist is not saying there are no worrisome things out there. There are no threats. He's saying, since we have a sovereign God over everything, we need not live in fear. Right? Since we have a sovereign God over everything, that the scripture tells us, he works all things for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, we need not live in fear. The psalmist isn't saying there are no dangers. The psalmist isn't saying you're never going to have an accident. The psalmist isn't saying you're never going to get sick. The psalmist isn't saying that there might be an enemy that might trip you up. He's saying, because, he says in the first verse, because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, because we belong to God, because he is our Father, because we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, we can trust him in life and death, in terror and in calm. We can trust him. We need not be anxious. After all, the Apostle Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing." That's quite a statement. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Don't be worrisome. Don't be anxious for anything. Why? How could that possibly be true? To be anxious for nothing, only because we have a sovereign God who's watching for us and he's able to take care of us. Knowing who our God is can literally alleviate us of all our fears. Okay. You know why sometimes we're afraid? It is because we don't know God. We don't know his greatness. We haven't investigated what the scripture says about the glory of God and all of his wonder and majesty and strength and power and omniscience. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He has power to do all things. There's no enemy that can rise up against him that is greater than him. Our God, and we're going to look at several our gods in our text. Our God is bigger than any fear we can face. That's what it says in verse 1. We dwell in his shadow. Can you see the picture there? It's like standing by the side of your father when you're a little boy. We dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. He is by our side. He is our strength. He is our protector. He is our God. Look what it says in verse 9 about our God. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. One of the names of God here in this text is the Most High. You know, maybe you are on the playground and there's some bullies on the playground. You're in third grade, but you have a brother that's in fifth grade. And he started to sprout up. You know, he's taller than most of all the other kids in the class. At least he's taller than every third grader in your class, the bullies that are picking on you. He's the Most High God in the guy in the class. What the psalmist is saying is there is no strength, there is no power, there is no fear that is greater than God. He is the Most High God. Look at the second part of verse 1. Our God is like a father with a big shadow. Almighty God has a big shadow, and we are resting in his shadow. In verse 2, he says, our God is like that walled city. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Between you and the coronavirus, there are 16-foot brick walls, concrete walls, walls of protection. Our God is a fortress. He is a refuge. He is a safe place. Now, there's just a terrible tornado in Tennessee. And, you know, people, especially in those corridors where tornadoes often occur, they're smart, right? Some of them have already designed a plan. When the alarms go off that a tornado is coming, go down in the basement. There's a room there that's safe through a tornado. Some people have, you know, tornado shelters with steel doors, right? That's what he's saying about our God here. He's our fortress. He's our refuge. Let me just turn back just a moment to Psalm 27. If you'd like, you can turn back with me. I'd like to read a couple of verses that the psalmist gives here. Psalm 27. And we're looking at verse 5. The psalmist says, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. He is my hiding place. Turn just a page over or two to Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and verse 20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of the tongues. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. That's what the psalmist is saying. I can hide in the shelter of the Lord God. He's a safe place. Our God is greater than any spirit of evil. He destroys the work of the fowler. He says here in verse 3, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, Satan is far more powerful than any of us. He's a powerful angel. And he has many fallen angels on his side. We call them demons. But you know what? We don't talk a lot about demons around here. Because God has told us in his word, greater is he that's in you, the Spirit of God, than he that is in the world. We don't have to walk around in fear that this evil spirit or that evil spirit. I mentioned before, my son is a missionary in Japan. There are very superstitious people over there. And they go to the witch doctor and they get a fortune from the witch doctor, and they have days that are good luck and days that are bad luck, and they're always concerned about evil spirits and that this might befall me or that might befall me. But there is a spiritual world. The Bible describes it as principalities and powers. armies of evil spirits that are working against the kingdom of God, but he tells us here that the Lord God is able to deliver us from the snare of the fowler. And you know what? Sometimes people say, well, I sinned, but the devil made me do it. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, this verse is telling you the devil can't make you do anything. That God has given you by the Spirit the power to be delivered from temptation and sin if you yield yourself to him. The Spirit of God. If I walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Look at the second part of verse 3. Now we're looking at God. We're trying to get a vision of God and who he is. Right? Who is this God who is we have called upon his name? The one in whom we have put our faith, the one in whom we have put our trust. Who is he? He's one that delivers us from perilous pestilence. In other words, I don't have to be afraid. You know, I believe that the day of my birth and the day of my death, and the scripture says this, the day of my birth and the day of my death are all known to the Lord. He has a plan for me, and that might be 70. It might be 10 more years, another decade. But I might die when I'm 12. I might die when I'm 40. I might live to be 100. Thank God, look at Pastor Will here. In his 90s, still smiling, right? That could be you, right? We don't know, but God knows. And God has a plan for every day of our lives. We need not live in fear. The scripture talks about those who all their lifetime are subject to bondage because of the fear of death, but we've been delivered from that because we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know, like the Apostle Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, he said. That's the old King James English. I'm not sure which way I really want to go. I'm in prison. I have a sentence of death upon me. Right? Caesar wants to kill me. I could die today or I could continue to live. And if I continue to live, it would be far better because I'd be able to continue to minister to you and to do God's will on earth. But someday, the Lord is going to take me to paradise. I'm in a strait betwixt two. Far better. Paradise is better than here. Do I need to tell you that? Do I need to explain to you that paradise is better than here? Right? Some people say this is hell on earth. Well, I believe there's an eternal hell. But there's a lot of things about hell being separated from God on earth. Paradise is better. Paul says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So almost every one of you could turn back a few pages to Psalm 23, and maybe we should just look there. And you know what? The psalmist begins this 23rd Psalm with these precious words where he says, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If the Lord is my shepherd, he's going to take care of me. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. That's what the shepherd does. He's going to take care of me. But the psalm ends with these words. If I'm walking with God, if God is my shepherd, if I love him, if I'm serving him, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness is going to be flowing out towards me. Sometimes it's good for us to be without. Sometimes it's good for us to suffer. Sometimes it's even good for us to be sick. Sometimes trouble brings us to our knees. Surely God's goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And maybe we could tack on the end of that. Do you believe this? That's what the psalmist is trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us that we can trust God, that he has no problem keeping us from pestilence. We may get that disease, but God knows. what's best for us. The next thing, God is the ruler of the universe. Those things that keep you up at night, God has control over. We wring our hands. We sit up on the side of our bed. We toss and we turn. You know, there's some descriptions in the scripture about people that don't have any sleep, and I think they're kind of humorous. Their sleep broke from them, the scripture says. Think about Nebuchadnezzar, and so he can't sleep, and so God gives him a vision in the middle of his sleep. Think about Ahasuerus, Esther's future husband, who couldn't sleep, so he says, get out the Old Testament history and start reading to me. Not the Old Testament history, the history of Persia. And so the laws are read. Sometimes we sit up and we want a boring book, so maybe it'll make us sleepy enough to go to sleep. You know, sometimes we're not sleeping because we're not trusting in the God who's in control of all things, the one who's in control of the universe. Now, he mentions the arrow that flies. And, you know, we think of that as being random. Now, God doesn't want us necessarily to sit out on the target, by the targets, during archery practice, you know. He doesn't want us to fly down the highway at 90 miles an hour. You know, he doesn't want us to, you know, someone said to me, the rules of this coronavirus are don't shake hands and don't pick your nose. He doesn't want us to pick our nose and shake hands with everybody, right? There's nothing wrong with having hand sanitizer. But you know what? We need to realize there's some things that are outside of our control that we trust are in his control. If you are a believer, look what this psalm says about you. This psalm tells you that you are his chosen. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've come to him in repentance and faith and cried out to the Lord through the blood of the Son of God to give you eternal life and to turn you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to give you a relationship with God that you might become his sons and daughters through the new birth. If God, who sent his Son, has made you one of his children, if you believed in the Messiah that he's talking about here in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 describes Jesus, and Satan took Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple, and he quoted this verse to him about falling from the cliff. Lest you dash your foot against the stone, you shall tread upon the cobra and the lion. We need to know who we are and what our relationship is with God. And since he is our Lord, if he is our Lord, he has serving us a host of angelic beings. Now, I've never seen an angel. I don't expect to see an angel until I am with God in glory. And then certainly, yes. Angels are invisible spirits. But the scripture talks about our angels. Since we belong to God, God gives his angels to be ours and to care for us. And you think about the power of an angel. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now, this is talking about the Messiah, but it's also talking about that Old Testament believer, that psalmist. Look what it says in the next verse. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, a young lion and a serpent you shall trample under your foot. If you are his, he is the one who will control your steps. I was reading about a woman who was jogging on a trail out in Arizona. And she's jogging, and I can just see the arid desert in Arizona with the cactus and the crooked little pine trees. And she's jogging down the trail, and all of a sudden a mountain lion jumps out from a tree onto her. You know what this is saying? He's the one that controls your steps. He's the one that can determine whether you are there when the mountain lion is there. He's the one that can control whether you're walking along and there's a snake on the ground. My wife and I did some hiking up on Tongue Mountain, up on Lake George, on the western coast of Lake George. And as you go on the hiking trails, there's all these signs: look out for rattlesnakes, look out for rattlesnakes. So we traveled up the trail, and then we traveled back down the trail. And coming down the trail, sure enough, there's a rattlesnake right in the middle of the trail. Now, I saw it. Good thing I did, though. I could have stepped on that rattlesnake, but the Lord somehow brought my attention to that rattlesnake. He's directing my paths. You don't know when you get in that elevator and push that button for the seventh floor whether that elevator is going to stop halfway up, right? But the Lord knows. He knows all of that. He's directing your steps. Look at verse 13b. Verse 13 says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample under your feet. There's going to come a time in your experience when you need strength that's beyond your own. Remember, many of the Psalms are written by David. David testifies to Saul before he goes out to battle Goliath, I have wrestled and defeated a lion and a bear. Well, you know what? I just don't want to tangle with a bear. I don't want to tangle with a lion. But there might be a case when we might have to do that. I don't want to wrestle with that fowler, that evil one. I don't want to have to fight against an angel that's far more powerful than me. I don't want to have the strength that's beyond me to bring deliverance and salvation, but the Lord can give it to me and will in that time. He's the one who can give you phenomenal strength when you are in need, even to battle with a lion and to step on a cobra. He's the one, it says, and I love this verse, he's the one who has set his love on me because he has set his love upon me. Now, that's talking about me setting my love upon the Lord. Therefore, I will deliver him. You know what? I think we need to realize that a relationship with God is more than a religion. It's a love song. It's beautifully pictured for us all through the scriptures. One of the greatest love songs in the Bible is the Song of Solomon. And it pictures a loving relationship between God and a believer, his chosen ones. That's very similar to the relationship between a man and a wife. A yearning to be together. A yearning to share life together. The psalmist uses the voice of God and says, he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. He loves you. God loves you. That's something we say. Maybe we take for granted. But if he loves you, then he's certainly going to care for you. Verse 15 says, he, the believer, shall call upon me and I will answer. You know what this is saying? This is saying you have access to God. In your need, in the time of trouble, in when your fears are circling all around you, in a time when your sleep breaks from you, you can come to God and pray, and God will hear your voice. And if that's true, why should we worry? That text that I mentioned before says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And if you bring your needs to the Lord in prayer, trusting him, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, he closes the psalm in verses 15 and 16. He shall call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I'll be with him. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Who is God? God is our deliverer. Jesus is our Savior. It doesn't matter how great our enemies are, Jesus is our Savior. And I can rest without fear because I trust in him. Call upon him in trouble. Take your worry to the Lord in prayer. Get a good vision of who God is. And he can give you peace in the midst of every troubling circumstance. So, there's a coronavirus. Some people will die because of the coronavirus. But there's also traffic out on the road, right? There's also all kinds of things that can happen to us that we can't even count them, right? We could be walking down the street and somebody could rob us and shoot us and kill us. There are all kinds of fear. There are people all around the world that want to destroy America, right? We could spend our time wringing our hands and worrying. Rather than that, we take our needs to the Lord, who we love and who loves us, and rest in peace in him. So let that be the guiding spirit during this difficult time in the history of our nation and in your life. Our Father, we come to you today. Thank you for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We've become one with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We become the sons of God through the sacrifice of Christ and through faith in him. Thank you that you are the Almighty God in whose shadow we dwell. In Jesus' name.